Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Is quickly coming to a close. So I pray tonight that you're ready for another week and that God uses what you have been encouraged in today, what you've been challenged in, that you would use for God's glory this week as He opens doors and doorways of opportunity that otherwise you may not have had, or maybe God has challenged you in a new way to stand firm, stand up, stand out in a generation that desperately needs hope, desperately needs truth, and that truth is only found in the finished work of Christ. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, we're going to look at just one verse tonight, verse 20, of a message titled Wisdom or Foolishness. And I guess we really don't grasp, it's interesting that the young people are in here tonight, we don't grasp a lot of times the implications of relationships with people. We think about, I've got these friends, and you grow in relationships and friendships with people who maybe are not believers, or maybe they are compromising believers, but you think more about the ministry part of it and saying, well, maybe they'll get right. So the deeper your relationship grows with them, the closer you grow. And it's one thing to have engagement with someone who is not a believer and you have a casual relationship where you see them, you share Christ with them, maybe you go out and eat with them and share the gospel. But there's a danger in becoming yoked in friendship, which is a whole entire other picture. And the danger in that is, we know what we're talking about, spiritual wisdom or foolishness. We know that we are foolish. All of us are foolish. And apart from Christ, we are dead, we're lost, we're broken, we're without hope. And when you walk in wisdom and you walk with wise, the wisdom of God, the only wisdom, there is no wisdom apart from Him. There is no conviction apart from the Lord, unless it's, worldly sorrow brings death, godly sorrow brings repentance. And one of the hard parts is differentiating when someone is a mission field versus when a person has come to the point where you have begun to grow a relationship with someone who may be completely polar opposite from what you are. And one of the things, remember what Scripture says, light and darkness hath no fellowship. Again, we have relationships with people who are lost. God allows us and affords us that ability to use them as ministry fields, but we've got to be careful because there is a fine line. It's very easy, the patients at work that I have, it's really hard not to develop very deep, meaningful relationships with them, but you're not supposed to. They actually warn you and caution you against that, because you have to keep the professional boundaries there. It's really the same thing in the spiritual sense. We've got to be very careful. You got to be very careful who, as you know, the old saying is, who you let in. Does that make sense? You're not going to let in an everyday stranger, right? No, you've got, in essence, you got a protective wall up, you got your barrier, you got your safe space. But someone who begins as a mission field, there's a danger with letting our barriers down and letting the foolishness of the world impact us in an ungodly and a not good way. Tonight we're going to look at those two again in just one verse, verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 13. And if physically you're able tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's Word. The one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Father, thank you tonight again, Lord, for your word, for the privilege we have to be here. Father, thank you for this day, the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, tonight, challenge us through your word, convict us, encourage us, Father. I pray that tonight, not only would we go and get rested and prepared for the new week, Father, we would hide behind the cross of Christ, Lord, and realize apart from you, we are broken, lost, and without hope. And rejoice in the truth that you've blessed us with. Lord, may all this be unto you and your glory. We ask this in Jesus' holy, precious, and righteous name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First part of verse 20 again, here it is. The one who walks with the wise will become wise. I guess you older people, right? Me older people can tell the old the statements that we were told, right? Bad company corrupts good character. Please tell me I'm not the only one here who knew that. That's another one. What it talks about, there is a direct correlation between the people that we hang out with, fellowship with, and a positive or negative impact on our lives. When I was young, I learned that at a very young age, and I had a lot of very successful friends when I was younger, and I had actually purposely done that because someone had told me the importance, and I didn't even know that from a spiritual sense. Somebody had taught me that. Back, Tony Robbins was very big back in the early 90s. Remember Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker? And there was a big motivation push back then, and you know, hanging out with people that are successful because you can pick up a lot of their principles. And it's really ironic. That's very true. Church, you become who you hang out with. Good, bad, or ugly. You become who you hang out with. If you surround yourself, you're a follower of Christ, and you surround yourself with brothers and sisters in Christ who walk in uncompromising lifestyles and life, you are going to seek to model that behavior and to live holy because he is holy. You are going to walk in wisdom because you are surrounding yourself with people who desire to do that. When you're fellowshipping with them and sharing what God's done in your heart, and they're sharing what God's done in their heart, and when they're encouraging you by praying for you and texting you and reaching out, what is a natural tendency to do? The natural tendency is to embrace those things that they're doing, and the next thing you know, your whole entire life has been transformed because this relationship with Christ, not only do you not feel alone, but you have this camaraderie with other brothers and sisters, this fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. So that worldly wisdom is not a worldly wisdom. This is a spiritual wisdom, and you're walking in the wise. And tonight I ask the first question. It's two principles tonight, and the first one's this. Who is your company? Who are you spending time with? Who are you spending the majority of your time with? I referenced this morning how no one would go out to Bonnaroo after Bonnaroo's over and pitch a tent next to the porta potties. Someone may, but you got problems if you did. No one would want to get near it. It's the same way as these fields out here sometimes. I have to put my car on recirculate when I come turn onto Longview Road because it's vile, is it not, sometimes, huh? Why? Because I don't like that smell. It's just not appealing. It's not something that makes you go, wow, this is nice, fresh country air. But if you're surrounding yourself with people that have attitudes and have actions, have lives or lifestyles that are contradictory to Scripture, it's the same thing as not just pitching a tent near a porta potty. It's like getting in one and sitting there going, I promise this will not make me smell. Spiritually, they will affect us. And I'm going to just lead to another word, infect us. Just like bitterness. What does the Scripture say about bitterness? See to it that no bitter root arises and does what? Defiles many. It has a systemic effect. It affects people. It infects people. So when you think about your company, you might not realize the implications or the dangers of it, but it's a very real and present danger for us as Christians. We've got to be very careful who we surround ourselves by, because there is a marked effect, good or bad, that is going to be had on our life. And this is what this is speaking to tonight. Again, let me hit that first part. One who walks with the wise will become wise. How can we trust that? God's word. Bats 1,000. Amen? Now we move on to this other part, second half. But a companion of fools will suffer harm. Companion of fools will suffer harm. I wonder what that means. Somebody who's living in foolishness. I read an article this morning. I couldn't find it again if I probably wanted to. It was a person who was being interviewed about the interest rates on autos. This person had bought a new one of those big Chevrolet Suburbans. They've had it either 3 or 4 years. They've made over $50,000 worth of payments, and they still owe $72,000 plus. Their payment was $1,400 plus a month. That wasn't the high one. The husband's truck was $1,600 plus. I sat there and went, good grace, that's more than the whole budget of our home. We got 11 people living there. Can you even imagine? There's implications for actions. Meaning, foolish decisions, that is not in any way, I'm sorry, unless you're a CEO of a company, but a CEO of a company, you shouldn't be paying payment like that, right? Because you'd be making enough where if you wanted to spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, I'd hope, with those amounts of money that some of them bring in, you'd be able to go down here and pay cash for it and still have a whole lot left over. But foolish decisions are made when you surround yourself with people not making wise decisions, making foolish decisions. And that's what that is speaking to tonight in verse 20. A companion of fools will suffer harm. Church, I'm not here to speak bad about rental companies, but I hope you don't rent your furniture. I hope you don't rent your TV, and I hope you don't rent your stereo, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it online. If that's the only way that you have to get a TV or furniture, go buy some blow-up furniture from Dollar General and sit on it until you can afford it. Don't allow yourself to become a pauper because you have the Americanized belief system that everything needs to be now. It's now, 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 right now, right now. And the next thing you know, you're sitting at home, they've repossessed everything, and you've got nothing. Because that's what happens, but yet there is systemic issues spiritually where if you're a follower of Christ, the scripture talks about borrower, slave, the lender. Very basic principles, aren't they? Borrower or slave to the lender. Who in the world wants to wake up in the morning and have to work to make sure that you make $1,600 or $1,400 so your car doesn't leave the driveway? Matter of fact, you know what I'd do? Bye. Bye, car. You got to go. That's ridiculous. That's more than, in my opinion, I guess house payments are much more, but that's more than a very nice house payment, in my opinion. But sadly, times have changed. But the attitudes and actions that as Christians we have to affirm, that we have to manage, that we have to mimic, we are either going to surround ourselves with people that make foolish decisions, and what is the tendency going to be then? To model the behavior of the people that you hang out. I'll be perfectly honest with you, I'm not here to be a Dave Ramsey fan, but he has some really good principles. I don't believe them all, I don't follow all of them. But he's got some really good ones. Anybody ever heard of him? If you haven't, I don't know where you've been. But he's got some really good principles. One of the biggest things is he's helping you make decisions financially now so that down the road you can be faithful in ministry, you can go on missions trips, and you can live like nobody else when you get a little bit older. But when you plunge yourself into debt, how in the world can you ever be free to serve the Lord, to glorify the Lord, to honor the Lord? Or maybe you want to homeschool your kids one day. But if you're out making foolish financial decisions when you're in your 20s, do you think when you hit 30 years old and you want to homeschool your kids, you're going to be able to do that? No. It's going to take everything that you make to be able to just keep your head above water when you get to that point. Oh, you want to start slowing down when you hit 50 years old? Sorry, the decisions you made in your 20s have completely handicapped you so that it's never going to be an option for you to start taking it easy and serve more. give of your time to ministry and missions, or yesterday like we did, being able to help someone less fortunate get into a home. There are things that we have to do in making wise decisions spiritually. This is the second thing I want to share with you, and the final thing tonight is this. We become what we fellowship with. We become what we fellowship with. Are you fellowshipping with wisdom tonight, or are you fellowshipping with foolishness? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that. I'm not here to browbeat you. I'm not your dad. I'm here because I love you, and I want to see you walk in the fullness of Christ, and I want to see you live like nobody else. I want to see you have the freedom financially in your lifetime to be able to run that race faithfully, to give up yourself for the Lord and the kingdom and go on missions trips and involve yourselves in the youth activities if your desire is to do that, or be involved in our vacation Bible school or whatever it might be. That if you are such a slave to the cravings and desires of flesh, buying the newest, this, that, or the other when it comes out, you'll never be able to do that. And it takes very serious discipline to do that. It takes restraint. Has anybody ever struggled with wanting to buy something so you went into the store and looked at it long enough that you got tired of wanting it and didn't get it as a result? Am I the only? Okay, good. Got a few of you. But you have to do that sometimes. You think you want something, spend enough time with it, and guess what you'll find out? You know what? I don't want that. Or you start to think about, one of the things I don't like about credit cards is when you swipe that card, there is just something, a dynamic force that occurs when you pull out $100 bills or $1 or $5 or $20 bills. It's a whole lot harder when inside of that would be $345. Ooh. But boy, I have a card I put stuff on because I get cash back from it. Are you ready? When do you think I pay it off? I wouldn't dare pay it off every month. I pay it off. Like if I bought something today, it'll say pending. Tomorrow, it's paid off. I will not put anything on there that I can't pay off because I know there is nothing worse than, I call them a surprise, at the end of the month. And you hex the thing, you know, you were swiping and you end up with a big mess. And this, is this wisdom? No, the next thing you know, you've been caught in the foolishness in a trap. And I don't even know what the interest rates on some of those cars are, but I've heard they're over 20% in some cases. Do you know how hard it is to pay off 20% interest of anything? I know there's some of you in here that have never paid interest in your life. Praise God for that. But I know there's a lot of people that get caught in that trap. And it's, once you're caught in it, it literally is like quicksand. Once it gets you in there, the more you fight, the more entangled you become. And I'm saying this because I don't want you to live a life as a slave to anybody other than Christ. I want you to live as a slave to the truth, a slave to righteousness, a slave to the freedom that God has given us to live in that freedom, not to have to worry about the man coming and taking your car and you going out and get ready to go to work and you're like, what happened to my car? It got raptured. No, it didn't get raptured. It got repossessed because you didn't pay for it. You don't want to have to worry about that, especially when you've got a family and you've got kids. You want to walk outside because you took $2,500 or whatever and bought a car you could afford, and that car is not eating anything. So if one of you gets injured, guess what you have to worry about? You don't have to worry about the car walking away, do you? And as a matter of fact, if you had two cars, you know what you could do? If you had two, you could sell one of them. But they're financial stewardship principles that we're going to be talking about in the coming months with our stewardship drive we're going to be talking about. Stewardship is a really important thing, and that is the difference, truly, church, in walking in wisdom or foolishness. Walking in wisdom or foolishness not only applies to relationships, but it also applies to finances. It applies to husbands and wives. It applies to job situations. This really applies to so many different things, but we have to ask some fundamental questions with ourselves. Am I engaging in relationships? In the relationships that I have, am I seeing myself compromise in them? Have I found myself inadvertently, because of my desire to be a really nice and kind person, ended up yoking myself in a greater degree with somebody in friendship that I probably shouldn't have, but because I had good intentions, I never meant to develop that deep of a relationship, but it just happened. We've got to be very careful. Because once again, those attitudes and those actions, a lot of times you think about what God, Scripture says that we have been called out. We have been set apart. I often attribute that. We're no better than anybody else. Please understand this. You and I are no better than the drug addict right down the street who's laying in a ditch with a needle hanging out of his arm. We are no different, and don't ever think you are. We are no different. But for argument's sake, Christ has pulled us out of the quicksand of sin. So think about sitting on a chair or a rock. So God has placed us up there, and we're in a mission field. All the lost world is all around us. Are they going to pull you off of that rock, off of that chair, or are you going to pull them up? What's much easier to do? Much easier for them to pull you back down to where God's delivered you from. That's why it's so vitally important that we surround ourselves with brothers and sisters in Christ that have attitudes and actions that mirror the attitudes and actions that you and I want to live out. Because it happens so subtly. You ever hear me talk about incremental compromise? Incremental compromise means somebody tells that joke that day and you stand there and at first, you know, you walked away because you wouldn't even hear them. But then, you know, you kept on and you became friends with them and, you know, they've told you their secrets and their battles and struggles. So the next time, right, they say that, you know, you listen to it, but you just don't react. And then you walk away. And then you go on and the relationships keeps building and they've told you things they've never told anybody else and you feel this connection with them because, you know, when they're struggling, they come to you first and you've been giving them, you know, wisdom and how to deal with things and, you know, you're sharing the Lord with them and you're inviting them to church. And then the next time you're scared, you don't want to do that because, you know, shut the door to it. So then they tell the joke and you kind of smile. You don't laugh, but you smile. Then you walk off. You see what's happening, right? Incremental compromise is just one increment at a time that has taken you from where you are to where you are now. The problem is it doesn't just stop with that. It continues incrementally unless you do what Scripture says, take every thought captive to the will of Christ. And that is tonight, church, what you and I have to do in order to get victory in a spiritual sense. Because if we don't, we are only as good as our human carnal ability. Because do you think that we're going to walk in the power of God when we have incremental compromise coming? And as that creeps in, where is the protective, restraining grace of Christ? Because we have excused our spiritual countenance back where we started. God says, if you want it, I can't force you to want to honor me and glorify me as the Holy Spirit convicts you. But that protection spiritually, we excuse out of the equation when we begin to do that. And that's those things that you hear somebody say when you're sitting down with a brother or sister who has really fallen bad. They sit there as they weep and they're broken and they say, I never meant to do that terrible thing that I did. It started off so what? Small, so innocently. It wasn't that big of a deal. I said I would never do that. And they woke up one day in that hotel room or in that other city or having left their family, divorced, or their families left them because of actions that fundamentally cascade and defile and affect many people. So tonight, church, wisdom or foolishness? Surround yourself. You might even have, as you think about it, you know, I've allowed these relationships with people that are not believers to creep in ever so subtly, and I never meant it. Just woke up and here I am. How do you deal with that? First of all, you deal with the one that you've violated in doing what you've done, which is him. Remember, God's word, God's law, God's truth is what makes. So you think about it. You say something to someone that's hurtful to them, and you get convicted about it, and you go, oh, I need to go to make it right with them right now. No, you actually need to do something first. You need to make it right with him first. Because they've been created in God's image, but yet God is the image bearer. God, we are the image bearers. God is the one that created them, and it's God's truth and God's law that we violated first and foremost. So we need to go into his presence and ask forgiveness from him first, because he is holy, he is the reason that what we did in the first place was wrong. Because apart from a moral lawgiver, we can say and do anything to anybody and it doesn't matter, because if there's no absolute moral truth, then there is no truth. So it doesn't matter what we do to one another if there's no God, but since there is a God, there is a moral absolute lawgiver. Therefore, when we violate his law, he's the one that we owe the apology to, and we repent. And that's what we said this morning, right? Godly sorrow leads to repentance. That leads to brokenness and repentance. What I say, a contrite heart, the heart that goes, man, I don't even know what I was thinking, what I was doing. I got myself so deceived. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for even inadvertently, I'm not excusing my behavior, God, but these relationships that I began to cultivate, doing it thinking I was doing the right thing. God, forgive me. Give me spiritual discernment, Lord, so that I might see this and I might recognize these traps from the very beginning and not fall into these again. God, surround me with people that desire to walk in the wisdom of Christ, to walk in the wisdom of God, not walk in the foolishness of man and all these things that we think are so important and we think are wonderful and awesome, and the carnal wisdom of the world that says, you know what, your wife don't treat you like you should, your husband doesn't treat you like you should, walk away and start over, life's too short, because you know God wants you happy. We know that's not true. God wants us happy, walking in his wisdom and his truth. There's nothing in the Bible that says God wants you happy. Find it and show me. But what is it? Happy is the one that delights in his laws, that meditates on him both day and night, right? Happy is the one that is fulfilled in walking in the Spirit, walking in truth, walking in righteousness. There's joy. Joy of the Lord is my strength. We can't find it anywhere else. It's actually the law of diminishing returns. If we even try to find it somewhere else, it's truly a lesson in insanity, doing the same thing over, expecting a different outcome. And if you and I try to find a justification for yoking ourselves with foolishness and contradictory attitudes and actions and things that will and can never fulfill us, we'll be pulled farther than we want to go. It'll cost us more than we want to pay, and we will be kept longer than we want to stay. And the problem is, the very difficult damage that occurs when we do that, I'm not going to say it's irreparable, but it takes sometimes enormous amounts of effort, energy, time to get back to where you were when you were deceived. And I want to save you a bunch of time, because if we continue to stay on the upward trajectory spiritually, we don't find ourselves battling and racked with guilt and hurt and shame and all of those things that who? The enemy loves to bind us in. What does he love to do? Look what you did. Look what you said. Look at your attitude. Look at your actions. I can't believe God saved you. Doesn't he? But if you're quick to repent, quick to hear the Spirit's convicting power, quick to embrace wisdom, you know what happens? Save yourself a whole lot of heartache, a whole lot of pain, a whole lot of hurt, a whole lot of repentance, and then apologizing to people that you hurt. And that's what walking in wisdom is. It's an overt act of our will every day to wake up, just like Joshua, Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. God, I want to serve you. I want to glorify you. I want to honor you. I want to live a life and a lifestyle that will bring glory and honor to you. Father, I want to be in the world, but not of the world. Lord, I'm thankful for what Jesus Christ did for me. Lord, let me be a beacon of hope and light to the lost, the broken, the hurting. God, use me as an avenue with people might find healing, might be made whole in the finished work of salvation in Christ. That's walking in wisdom. Are you tonight walking in wisdom, or are you walking in foolishness? Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word, for truth, for the gospel, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the call of a disciple tonight and all that you desire for our lives. Lord, let us not be caught in the deceptive tactics of the enemy, Lord, in incremental compromise and all the things that he so stealthily tries day in and day out. Father, I pray that we will meditate on truth, on the scripture, and recognize scriptures and repeat scriptures like greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And scriptures like Ephesians 3:20, Lord, unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Father, you will guide us. You will lead us, as you say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You will place our very footsteps, Lord, if we trust you, if we glorify, if we honor, and if we commit all of our ways to you. Father, thank you, Lord, above all for Jesus, for salvation, for the gospel. Lord, thank you for the call of a disciple, Lord, and all that you have in store for our lives. Father, pray that we would not be deceived, that we would stand firm, that we would stand up and stand out in this broken, lost, and dying generation. Father, raise up laborers in the harvest field. Lord, those fields are white unto harvest, as your word says. God, go with us now as we go into our mission fields. God, I pray that you'd equip us, that you'd strengthen us, that you'd guide us and direct us, Father, in accordance with your will, your purpose, and plan. We ask all this tonight in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Love you. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.